Good morning. Welcome to worship, all of those of you who are here and all of those tuned in on our YouTube posting. Let's begin our worship by rising and making confession before our God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. We say we have no sin. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. The peace of the risen Christ be with you this day and forevermore. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you've prepared for those who love you joys beyond understanding. Pour into our hearts such love for you, that loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 28. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all exiles. But listen, now to this word I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, that it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from Romans 6. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of the teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to the greater and greater impurity, so now present yourselves as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this fourth Sunday after Pentecost is read from Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said to the 12, Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Jesus the Christ. The great idol of our modern age is personal independence. In the United States, we want health care without restrictions. We want wages without taxes. We want a cell phone plans without limits. I want to decide what I want, when I want, and when I want it. We are heavily invested in the illusion that we think for ourselves, choose for ourselves, and do for ourselves. And this thought process makes today's passage from Paul's letter to the Romans offensive to some, but yet essential. It's a message that we need to hear even when we don't want to. A serious obstacle in this passage for many people is the word slavery. Paul lived in an age where the relationship between slave and master really needed no explanation. It was known, and it was accepted, and was understood by everybody. But in 2020, the word slavery calls into mind 300 years of social sin and evil, and we want nothing to do about it. We don't even want to talk about it. Like I said last week, if it's not written in our history, then maybe we can say it didn't happen, but it did. What does Paul mean when he says we are slaves? He's really talking about ultimate allegiance, about loyalty, obedience, and service. To be a slave, as Paul understands it, is to surrender your life to the control of someone else. When we define slavery in this way, it points to the fact that we're all slaves of one sort or another. I know people, and I will use the word people, not women, who are a slave to fashion. And fashion is a fickle master indeed. Quit smiling, Katie. Every season brings a new set of requirements, new clothing, accessories to be purchased, new trends to be adopted. Sometimes these just look fabulous. Other times they look ridiculous. And sometimes they look uncomfortable. Nevertheless, many people have pledged their allegiance to Vogue and take their orders from the editor of that magazine. Some people are slaves to physical fitness, arranging their lives and relationships around trips to the gym and rigorous workouts. Some people have pledged their allegiance to personal wealth and are guided by the whims of Wall Street in all their trading. If you want to know who your master is, pay attention to what occupies your time and your money. We are all serving something or someone. Today's second reading invites us to ask the question, whom do you serve? Paul only sees two possible masters, righteousness, that is God, or sin, everything else. Paul tells us that there's nothing wrong with having a master. Every one of us has one. Everyone has one. It is who that master is that makes a difference for your life. When I was a teenager, yeah, I was one once, I had a creative way to keep myself out of trouble. When friends would call and ask me to do something that I knew was questionable, I found a way to say no without losing face or popularity. I would just go ask my mother's permission. But then I would add, I need you to tell me no. And she would say no, so I could go back to the friends and say, my mom won't let me. She won't let me go. As a teenager, surrendering control to my mother allowed me to do the right thing without a struggle. So all of you teenagers here, you can take that idea and go with it. This same idea is strange, yet wonderful logic of Paul's theology of salvation. God is on our side and has our best interests at heart. If we devote ourselves to God's will, God will lead us to abundant life. Ask God to tell you what to do or not to do, and then let God tell you not to go there. Now, there's another message implicit in this Romans passage that we all need to hear. We all need to admit to ourselves that we are not equal to God. For decades, mainline Christianity has been chipping away at divine control. And these days, many people view Jesus as Lord and Savior, not so much as a Lord and Savior, and more as a wise sage and role model. I think this evolution has come as an expected response to some versions of the Christian faith that depict Jesus as an arbitrary judge for an angry God, but I think the pendulum has swung too far. Jesus does offer us commands and direction for our lives, but then he asks us to follow him. He doesn't tell us. I want to decide, we say. Jesus says, well, then decide, and I hope you decide to follow me. Some of the teachings of the church have changed to mean that Jesus and thus God does not stand over us, but is instead just our companion or our equal, someone who's there to help us, someone who's there to help us make our independent decisions. Did you hear this? Did you get what this is saying? Our independent decisions? Another misdirection away from yielding control to God is, let me decide. From Paul's point of view, this is nonsense. We are not independent. We have all declared for a team. But now that you've chosen, freed from sin, and enslaved to God, The advantage is you get to be made holy. The end is eternal life. Through your baptism, you have become one with Christ. Our allegiance now must be with God, who stands with us for sure, but more importantly, because God stands over us. Yes, over us. Many young people have become disillusioned with organized religion because the church seems to them to be hypocritical. We say one thing and we do another. Unfortunately, I think this is a fair criticism. There's no shortage of examples of good Christians who profess a faith that does not appear to influence their lives. As one of the confirmation students told me a couple of years ago, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Throughout chapter 6, Paul is encouraging Christians to walk the walk, to live for Christ. And since we are now dead to sin, this is not something that will just happen automatically. We just can't sit by and let it happen. It takes a choice. This is where we can say, I'll decide. We have to make day by day, no longer present your body as sin as instruments of wickedness, but present your body to God as instruments of righteousness. Through baptism into Christ, God has created the possibility of our doing the right thing. But God's allowing us all to have free will mandates that every Christian must choose whether or not he or she will do it. Our actions reveal our true allegiance and character. And Paul puts it this way, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, from the book of Joshua. But if it seems wrong in your opinion to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Choose the gods whom your ancestors served and beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But for my family and I, we will serve the Lord. So, will you choose the gods of this world or the Lord? It's your choice. You decide. Amen. Please rise. We profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Has been our practice now with the COVID. Our offering plates are found by the back door and up by this door. Thank you very much for keeping up with your contributions. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Called into unity with one another, let us pray for our shared world. God of companionship, encourage our relationships with all your children who call upon your name. Bless these conversations. Shape our shared future and give us hearts eager to join in a festal shout of praise. Hear us, O God. God of mercy, your grace is poured out for all. Inspire authorities of all countries to act with compassion. Teach us to overcome fear with hope, to meet hate with love, and welcome one another as we would welcome you. Hear us, O God. God of care, comfort those who are sick, lonely, or abandoned. Ease the fears of those who are dealing with the COVID virus, either themselves or with a family member. Renew the spirits and strengthen the hope of us all who call upon you. Hear us, O God. God of community, we give thanks for the community of St. John's. Give us wisdom and a desire to embrace your mission and the vision to recognize where you are leading us. Teach us how to live more faithful in your calling. Hear us, O God. God of love, you've gathered into your embrace all who have died. Keep us steadfast in our faith and renew our trust in your promise of our resurrection. Hear us, O God. Gracious God, as we celebrate the birthday of our country this coming week, be with us as we seem to be tearing ourselves apart. Let us return to you to give up these lives of sin and enter a life of righteousness. Help us to reach out to all. Help the leaders of our government to realize that this cannot go on. We ask this in your powerful name. Hear us, O God. Receive these prayers, O God, and those we keep silently in our hearts, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and on this day, as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples. At this, the whole world exults in boundless joy. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation that you've prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples to eat, saying, "This is my body that has given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." As we've been gathered together by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, the banquet is ready.
Lost, but now I'm found.
Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice, may we thirst for your way of peace, for you are Lord forevermore. Amen. Now may God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. May Almighty God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit bless you now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace, spread the gospel, and know that Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.